each of the people here to go out into the world and teach somebody about you. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Five twenty-seven, and our friend. 5:27. This is a beautiful verse. We kind of touched it the last time. A little bit. I guess I could see if I put my glasses on, maybe. Five twenty-seven. Chi, exousion, edoken, alto, kresin, poiein, hote, huios, anthropou, eston. And authority. And exousion. Exousion. Exousion is quite a word. Quite a word. He gave to him judgment to do, because Son of Man he is. Penny, would you mind coming up here? You've got the Amplified Bible, don't you? Would you mind reading that for me just very quickly? Penelope.
And he has given him authority and granted him power to execute, exercise, and practice judgment, because he is a son of man, very man.
All right. I knew that was good in the Amplified. Exousion, page 146. Exousion, page 146. Now, Brandy. Would you come up here and read this for me out of this Greek lexicon, because you've never seen one before. But I know you can do it. You don't have to read too much Greek. It's all English right there. All right. Exousia. See that word, exousia?
Uh-huh.
That's the one we're talking about.
Okay.
All right. Now it comes, this is the root of it, see?
Mm-hmm.
It is possible. All right. Go ahead and read all these little things right there.
All the way down?
All the way down and over to here.
Oh, okay.
It goes all over.
Okay. Meaning it is possible, it is permitted, it is lawful. Do you want me to read the verses?
Yes, go on.
This is Matthew 12:2-4, right? Is that
yes.
How it reads?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Power, ability, faculty, having the power, ability, faculty. Matthew 9:8-10-1, efficiency and energy. Luke 4:32. Having the liberty or the license. What's that?
John 10:18.
That's John. Okay, John 10:18. Acts 5:4. Authority, rule, dominion, jurisdiction. Matthew 8:9. 28:18. Authorities, potentates, powers. There's a lot.
Yeah.
Luke 12:11. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Ephesians 1:21. The right, the authority, the full power. Matthew 9:6-21-23, the privilege, the prerogative. Okay, John 1:12, perhaps a veil. You'll have to explain that one. 1 Corinthians 10:11-10, to have or exercise power or authority over anyone. Luke 22:25, to possess independent control over. 1 Corinthians 7:10. To be subject to, under the power or influence of.
All right. Now that is in the passive voice. What it means, this word exousia. Now when the Lord left here, he said in Matthew 28:18-20, he said, I have all power, all authority, in heaven and upon earth. In heaven and upon earth. Now does that cover everything? All right. In heaven and upon earth, I have all authority. And that means complete control. Nothing. And authority he gave to him. All right? It means unlimited power. There is absolutely nothing that he cannot do. Unlimited power. So many times when people talk about Jesus becoming flesh, God became flesh, did he not? All right. But Jesus did not cease being God. John 1:14 says God became flesh. Jehovah became flesh. Kaiho logo starts again until, and the Word, the Jehovah flesh, he became. John 1:1 says, and Jesus existed in eternity past for how long? Forever. It's in perfect tense. He just kept on and on. He existed forever and ever. And then in the second sentence in John 1:1, it says, in arche ein ho logos, in beginning kept on existing Jehovah. And it says, and Jehovah, he kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. So was there ever a time when Jesus was not God on earth? Now, just to think about this for a while. What are the attributes of God? What are the three attributes of God? The theological terms. What? The theological terms? He's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. All right. Now, we know that Jesus really wasn't omnipresent, was he? He was in one place. But did he know things about things that were happening someplace else? It says that over and over again, doesn't it? So in many ways, he was omniscient. And did he have all power? Was he omnipotent? Yes. But what did he do? He limited himself. He limited himself. He didn't zap those people that were putting him on the cross. He could have. He could have brought the world to an end right then. But he had a plan. And that plan goes way back in eternity. And we were, the last 2 weeks we studied in the book of Exodus, we studied Calvinism. The 5 points of Calvinism, we studied TULIP. We studied supralapsarianism. Supralapsarian. What does supra mean? Supralapsarian. Supra means way beyond. Supra. Super. Supercharged. When you supercharge a car, that comes from Latin. Supercharged. All right, it comes from the Latin word supra, and then lapsus is fall, and supralapsarian means one who believes that Christ elected people way beyond, way in eternity past, before the fall ever happened. Okay, and of course we know that God knew, and we know that God wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life before he ever created anything. We know that, don't we? Because the Bible tells us that. The infralapsarians believe that at the fall, basically, God elected. And the sublapsarian, now the term means. These are the terms, but they're not, it doesn't, the Latin terms that they use for these don't exactly line up with what the people believe. The sublapsarian means, sub means what? Below or after. Okay, sublapsarian, or after the fall. We were worried about you, Brother Roger.
Traffic, huh?
I can believe that. All authority he gave to him. Now, Jesus had all authority on the earth. This is the one that created the heavens and the earth. I want to ask you this question. I want you to put your thinking hats on. In all the dealings of God with man, who dealt with man? God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit? Who dealt with man in all the dealings in the Bible? Who dealt with man? God the Son. And he was known as Jehovah. Did Israel ever call upon God as Father very often? No. Who did they call upon? Jehovah. Jehovah. When Aaron made the golden calf after they came out of Egypt, And they said, we want a God that we can see. Aaron made a golden calf because he was a goldsmith. And what did he tell them? What was the name of the calf? It wasn't Apis, was it? That was the Egyptian god. What did he say? He said, this is Jehovah that led you out of Egypt. Boy, that just scared me. I mean, really, it does. I mean, whew. He got killed anyway. You know, God killed that guy. He did. He killed Aaron. But he said, this is Jehovah. So, when we look at Jesus, we're looking at Jehovah. When Israel, last Sunday morning, I read a historical account from history of Jesus before his ministry. You were here. Who else was here? Anybody? What? Roger? You're the only one. You're it. We talked and we read a history, a historical account. He gave a description of Jesus, what he looked like and everything. And who wrote this letter, this report? It was Gamaliel. Gamaliel. It was a letter of Gamaliel. And the letter was to the Sanhedrin. And you know what Gamaliel... Now, this is before the public ministry of Jesus Christ. Before his exousia and dynamis. Before his semion, before his great signs. And when Gamaliel signed the letter to the Sanhedrin, what did he say to the Sanhedrin? It is my opinion that this is the Messiah. Historically, he's from the right family. Everything. We really believe, he said, it's my opinion that he is the Messiah. Now, what did Jesus do when he started his public ministry? They already knew that he was the Messiah. But what did he do? He proved that he was the Messiah by miracles, paranormal charges of power, exousia and dynamis. Because he had all exousia. It's the word exousion. What does exousion mean? Unlimited control. Unlimited control. Unlimited control.
He had unlimited control.
Yes. But he didn't use it all the time. He didn't zap everybody that should have been zapped. He didn't make them believe, did he? He didn't force them to believe. He didn't, he did go in and cleanse and humbly whoop the tar out of them, didn't he? Beat them up real good. Played Sam Paul for a day. Whooped them. Turned over the tables, the money changers' tables. Turned the animals loose. Whooped and ran everybody out of the temple area. He said, you have made my father's house a den, a cave, a hideout of thieves and robbers. Like the hole in the wall game. Somebody's locked out. Exousia. Exousia. We didn't lock you out. The door did it. That door does that all the time. And exousia, authority, he gave to him. And then judgment creasing, judgment to do. Did Jesus do some judging while he was on the earth? Namely of what did he do? What kind of judgment did he give? Yeah, he judged the people in the temple. He judged Israel, didn't he? How about in Matthew, in the later chapters of Matthew, woe to you, you Pharisees, scribes, and hypocrites. That's judgment, people. That's judgment. Did he ever tell anybody that their sins were forgiven? And they said, only God can forgive sins. Yeah, he did. A couple of people, he forgave their sins before he ever healed them. But because you don't believe, I'm going to prove to you I'm the Messiah, that I have authority. He said, I will show you that I have authority to forgive sins. And he said, get up and walk. Or you can see. Whatever. Judgment to do because the Son of Man he is. The Son of Man. Wheels. He was the Son of God, he was the Son of Man. Literally, he was the Son of Woman, wasn't he? Did Jesus have an earthly father? No. Didn't have an earthly father. He had an earthly mother. Because God, in Genesis, the third chapter, the promise to the human race is that the Messiah would be born of a woman. The man gives the infection of sin through his blood to a child, not the woman. The woman gives form, gives body and relation. The father gives the bloodline, and also the infection of sin and the sentence of death. Jesus didn't have the sentence of death in him, did he? Because he had no blood from the Father. Randy.
The word wheels is air.
Yes.
The air, right?
Air.
If he was Son of Man, he could never have been the heir of anything but a stone-smith's house, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Joseph was supposed to have been the king of Israel. But Herod had usurped by Antony and Cleopatra. Antony and Cleopatra basically put Herod on the throne. Did you know that? These were his buddies. The Antonia that he built in Jerusalem, this is Herod the Great now, the Antonia that he built was after Antony. Antony. All right. He had great power. And he did judgment, but he was related to mankind. And because he's related to mankind, he is able to judge you because he walked in your flesh. He walked in flesh just like you did. He got hungry. He got cold tonight. You got cold out there tonight? Yeah. Yeah. Got cold, got hot, got thirsty. He grieved. The Spirit of God grieved over the surface or the faces of the waters. And the deep when he went out over the destructed earth. The Son of Man he is and he will continue to be. From the time that Jesus became flesh, when God, Jehovah, became flesh, from that point of time on, God was related to the universe. He's related to you and he's related to me and he's related to the dirt. Because all of it came from him. And he became dirt like us to be related to us to redeem it all back. Genesis 3:15 was fulfilled. The whole book of Ruth. Why do we have the book of Ruth in the Old Testament? To prove of the need of a kinsman redeemer. That was quite a story when Ruth went in there at Boaz's field and her mother-in-law told her, go out there. Naomi said, now go out there when Boaz goes in there and he goes into the threshing floor and sleeps there tonight because he's going to guard his produce. You know, people today have to, when they got crops in the field and they're harvested like onions and potatoes and stuff sitting out there in sacks, they have to have guards out there. Well, Boaz was his own guard. So he went out there and he goes into this threshing floor and he lays down, and Ruth, he said, slip in there and lay down at his feet. And you tell him that he's related to you and that you want to be his wife. Just tell him straight out now. He's a beautiful girl. But she's a Moabite. A Moabite. She's one of Lot's children. Okay? She did that. She went and he woke up in the night and, who are you? You know, sitting down at my feet like that. I am your kinsman. Jesus is our kinsman. She said, please take me under your blanket. I want to become your wife because you are a kinsman. He said, oh, there's one other one that's related closer to you. I have to take care of that first. So he did. The whole story. That whole love story, if you want to call it that, was all God's love story, like John 3:16, for God so loved the world. There are many cross-references to this. 5:28 now. May, and that's a little particle of negation. Thamazete, tuto, hote, erkete, hora, en he pontes, hoi, en tois, me ois, aku usen, teis phones, autu. And then he starts off here with a particle of negation, and he said, and that's on page 268, by the way, if you'll write it down there. I've got it written down in mine. Maybe we'll do that. A little particle of negation. Not ye wonder or marvel. Don't be struck out of your senses. It's not a traumatic experience now. This is no wonder, no marvel, this, because it comes for itself an hour. Erkete. Alright? Third person singular. Present indicative middle voice. Look at that. That's like an automatic washing machine. How many of you got a washing machine? You only have to turn it on one time, don't you? And it just goes through the cycles. Well, God's plan of the ages. Look up here at the map for just a minute. Look back up at the map. We have Satan back there, and we have God in eternity past, and Satan rebels against God and talks to a bunch of angels and spirits to do the same thing, and we have chaos on earth. God always creates order, doesn't he? And it becomes chaos. When something else gets involved, it always turns into chaos. Okay? So then he restores the earth, puts mankind on it, to what? What was Adam supposed to do? What was his job? What? To guard it. To guard the garden. Guard it. Against what? Yeah, what was he guarding it against? What was going to try to come into the garden? What was trying to get into the garden? What was trying to get back into God's world? I said, well, he used a snake.
Right.
All right. But did Adam have authority? Now, we read the book of Jasher, remember. What little rod did he carry around? What rod did Adam carry around? God's rod that he held in his hand when he created the heavens and the earth. He had authority. That's the word exousia that we just read a while ago. Remember that word exousia? He had all power and dominion over everything. Adam did. And what was going to try to take that power and dominion away from him? Who was going to do it? The same one that rebelled. Hillel. Say Hillel. That's his real name. That means shining one, because God created him to be a shining one. God created order, and he became Satan. Destruction. Rebellion. Okay? And God laid out the plan. He was going to call a man out in space and time. Then he was going to build a nation out of him. And what was that man's name? What was his original name? You know, God changed people's names sometimes, didn't he? His name was Abram. Avram. Say Avram. Avram. Okay? And what does that mean? Exalted Father. He was Exalted Father. That's what his name was. And he had a little old gal that was, her name was Henri. And a fighter. Her name was Fighter. I had a friend that we used to go coon hunting together, and he had a dog, a red bone hound, a big old dog, and he called him Fighter. You know why he called him Fighter? Because he was always picking fights with the other dogs. All the time. Well, Sarah, her name meant contentious or fighter. It comes from the Hebrew word Sarah. What does Sarah mean? Remember Brother Roger?
One form is princes.
Prince.
And vessels.
But what does a prince do?
Authority.
He wrestles and fights to gather his authority or his dominion. And here we go back to the word exousia again. All right, dominion or authority. Well, Satan wanted that authority over the earth again. Does he have it? Did he get it? Temporarily. But there is a plan. God has a plan, and he lets us know that. Do you think that old Satan ever read the Bible? Can you tell me one place where it said that he quoted Scripture? Or Satan quoted Scripture? Huh? When he was tempting Jesus. The Bible says. The Word says. All right. Sure. He knows what it is. But he hasn't given up yet, has he? But you know what? There's the end is on its way, and it's closer now than it was last week. That's right. We've got one less week to put up with Satan in the world. Forever! We know that God is going to send His Son. All right? He caused the flood to cleanse the earth of all them Nephilim guys. And He set up human government of Noah, and that failed, didn't it? It's still failing. It's going to fail until the Lord comes back. All right? He sent Jacob down into Egypt, and Israel became a great nation. He called them back out. He put them in the land. They never would listen, would they? They failed over and over and over again. But he had promised Israel that I'm going to have a great king over you. I'm going to send the Messiah. Of course, in Genesis 3:15, he did that. And of course, when he sent it, they verified that he was the right lineage and the right family, but they would not accept him. And Jesus is dealing with these people that are rejecting him right now in John. These are the people that he's arguing with. Okay? Don't you marvel about this, because it comes an hour in which all the ones in the tombs, they shall hear the voice of who? Jesus. Jesus. Now, this chart up here, if you don't have one of these charts, get one from me, because this is very important. Everything that in the Bible is on that chart. Every little thing that you can think of. All right? When are the people going to hear the voice of God? When that's going to happen? Where does that happen on here? Right here. This is the rapture too, isn't it? And the rapture is what? We have at least three resurrections in the Bible. Did you know that? God does things in threes, doesn't he? When was the first fruits or the first resurrection? When did that happen? When was the first resurrection?
It happened when Jesus came alive.
When Jesus rose from the dead, many people arose. Theologians don't really know what to think about that, and I don't either. I can just tell you this much. Either all of the Old Testament saints were raised and walked around Jerusalem for a while, and of course they went to heaven. They went to heaven later. Okay? Or a number of them did. It says many did. And of course, how many is many in the Bible? This is just in Jerusalem now. I'm sure that all over Palestine, they were coming up out of the graves, if all of them did. We don't know whether all or some of them did. We don't know that. Okay? But that was a resurrection, wasn't it? When Jesus raised, why did those people come forth from the graves? Why? Why did these people publicly see these people? What was the purpose of it? What was God's purpose? Talking about His eternal purpose. To prove that He had raised the Son, and the Son had raised Himself from the dead. And that He was capable of raising everybody. And Jesus is giving them a little bit of preview of the coming attractions right here. In John, the 5th chapter, verse 28. He said,
I'm sorry to interrupt. You don't think this is speaking of the resurrection, Christ's resurrection?
It is. But who raised those people from the dead when Jesus came up?
Christ.
Yeah, that's right. So He raised them then also, didn't He? I said there's at least three resurrections in the Bible. We're not finished with it yet. Okay? That was one resurrection in the Bible, okay? That was when Jesus rose from the dead. All right? Now let's go back and look at what, see what it says. And don't you marvel this, because it comes for itself an hour in which all the ones in the memorial tombs, is what it means, they shall hear, third person plural, future indicative active, the voice of Jesus, of Him. All right? They shall hear the voice of Him. Now, we have people that were raised from the dead right here, don't we? Huh? Some people were raised from the dead in Christ's ministry, were they not? That was one of the proofs of the Messiah, of His messianic ability. Now, many people say, well, the ones that were that He raised during His ministry actually died again. Maybe Lazarus died again. Some historical evidence is that Lazarus became a great preacher, and that Mary and Martha went with him, and they ministered with him, and they started, and they built churches, pastors. Well, we have a resurrection here. Now, right here, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Let's look at that. Julie, do you have that over there? 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. I know you can find that quickly. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. By the way, 1 Thessalonians, who's speaking there? Who's doing this writing business? Paul. Who's he writing to? The churches of Thessalonica. All right, he's writing to a church. Almost every New Testament letter is to a church. There are some general epistles. All right, some general epistles. What are some of the general epistles? The Ephesian letter was a general epistle. It was not. It was really not the Ephesian letter. It was the letter to all the churches, wherever they were. 4:16 and 17.
For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever.
All right, now we have another resurrection here. This is what some people call the first resurrection. The first resurrection. Okay? So we have a resurrection, and they're going to hear the voice of God, and who is going to be shouting with Him, in chorus with Him? Who's going to be shouting with Jesus? The voice of who? The archangel, which is Michael at least. Maybe Gabriel too. But at least Michael, because it names him the archangel, and he's known as the archangel. So we got Michael and we got Jesus shouting together, "Arise!" And we got a whole lot of dead people raising from the ground. And then while that's going on, what's happening there also, Julie, what was going to happen to the live people? They're going to be changed. They're going to be raptured. A lot of people say the word rapture is not in the Bible. I beg their pardon. Rapere is, which is Latin. In the Latin Bible, rapere means rapture. All right? It means to snatch away. God shall snatch them away. All right? They say the word millennium is not in the Bible. The word kelia means a thousand, and the word milli means a thousand. Kelia in Latin and milli in, kelia in Greek and milli in Latin, and it's there. Yes, Julie. Yes.
Are they going to be in their body?
They're going to be changed. They're going to have a resurrected body.
But is their old body going to stay here?
Their body will be changed. Just translated, so to speak. Everything in their body that was sinful will be here. Let's just put it that way. Material or whatever. It's going to be changed. It's going to be changed. That's going to be a good change, isn't it? What's that, Brandy?
I said I'm going to be skinny and a natural blonde.
Skinny and a natural blonde, okay. All right. Maybe I'll be 6'2" again.
This is my request in now, that's all.
Holding away 139 pounds to be 6'2" like I did. But I got down to 157 pounds here a couple of years ago. I don't want to get down there again. I was too skinny. Then they couldn't even give me a shot. I had no meat on my bones. You remember that. It wasn't too long ago. Turned around. Now I'm gaining too much weight. I had to change my diet too much. Don't marvel this, because it comes an hour. It comes for itself. It's going to be automatic. It's pre-programmed. In which the ones in the tombs, they shall hear the voice of him. We could call a lot of cross-references here. Jesus called Lazarus forth from the grave, didn't he? He said, what? What did he say? Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth, didn't he? And he said, Talitha kume one time, didn't he? Talitha kume. What language is that? That's quoted, by the way. What?
Aramaic.
And he says, Talitha kume. And he said, maid, arise. Come here. Maid, come here. And she was dead. And she arose. Most people think that those people had to die again. Some people say, well, they want to be the Lord because they had resurrected bodies. But there's differences in opinion of that. That's all I can say. 529. Kai, ekporusonte. Hoi, ta, agatha. Poiesantes, eis anastasin, zoes, hoi, ta phale, proxantes, eis anastasin, rithios. Now we've got a different judgment. Now we've got a different resurrection. We've discovered three resurrections in the Bible. One of them was a pre-first resurrection, which what we call, some people call the first fruits of the resurrection, but it could have been the complete resurrection of all the Old Testament saints. Why could they be resurrected after Jesus rose from the dead? Why would they be resurrected? Why would the Old Testament saints be resurrected? They believed that the Messiah would come, didn't they? All right.
But if they were all resurrected, then why did Jesus go down to paradise?
Paradise. All right. He went down to paradise because he had to be in hell for 3 days, didn't he?
But
he
went
down
to talk to them.
Yeah, he did. But his body had to be in the tomb for 3 days, didn't it?
Okay.
Because it prophesied. He said, what sign? He said, I'll give you no sign, but the sign of what? Of Jonah. All right, at the sign of Jonah. What happened to Jonah? Huh? He was dead in the belly of a leviathan or something for 3 days. Okay? He had been eaten up by a sea monster, by a great fish or whatever it was, a leviathan. And for 3 days he's being transported from the Mediterranean over there up the Euphrates and over there into Nineveh. Long way. Okay? He was being transported. And all the time he was being transported, he was a dead man. He wasn't alive, he was dead. I've heard, you know, people have blind belief sometimes, blind belief, dumb belief. I've had so many people, I've heard people trying to prove that somebody could be swallowed by a whale and stay alive in the whale's belly for 3 days. That's not what happened. He wasn't alive. He was dead. Dead. D-E-A-D. Dead. He was gone. His body was in the stomach of the leviathan or the fish or whatever it was. But his soul was where? Where did he speak to God from? It says Sheol. Sheol isn't the fish's belly. By the way, your lights don't go out and you don't go into a limbo with no conscience when you die. You go one or two places. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. And back then, there wasn't a heaven, but there was a Sheol. But there was a good side, paradise, and there was a side of suffering, okay? And he went down there, and he cried out to God, said, Lord, if you'll just give me another chance, I'll go back. You know what? I don't think he thought the Lord was really going to send him back. Do you know that? He was doing everything wrong. He was the reluctant prophet, the reluctant preacher. And God sent him back, and he spit him out on the shore of Nineveh. And he went in there, and he preached to him like he hated him, like I preached my Uncle Bill. And they all got saved, and he got mad. But he was dead. Jesus was dead in the grave. His soul and spirit were in Sheol with all the other people that had believed. But the reason why they could be resurrected, you couldn't be resurrected, you couldn't be translated, nothing else before the incarnation of Jesus, because the price hadn't been paid for the redemption. After he was born, after he lived, he preached the gospel, he proved to him that he was a Messiah. He was crucified on the cross by Jews, not Romans. Rome turned him loose. I wash my hands. Whose blood shall he be upon? Me and my children. You know, that's what Israel said. It's still on there. And he rose. And the redemption price was paid. He dies for our sins and raised for our justification. He can't just die for your sins. The Jehovah Witnesses have Jesus' body lingering on, dissolving, or whatever. But Jesus' body did not linger on and dissolve or whatever. He has a resurrected body along with the other people that had resurrected bodies when they came forth from the ground. That resurrection. Then when he speaks and screams from heaven, he shall descend from heaven with a what? With a loud voice, a shout, just like it said in verse 28. And Michael, at least Michael, is going to be shouting with him. And the dead in Christ shall rise, and then the living shall be changed. Now, let's go to verse 29 and look at it. And they shall come forth. How? For themselves as a middle voice. According to what they did in this world, that's going to be the prerequisite. That is the indicator of where they're going to go. And by the way, this resurrection and the next resurrection is 1,000 years apart. This verse is not split, but actually it's 1,000 years. The first, verse 28 and verse 29, is 1,000 years apart. We have the first resurrection here. All right? Right there. And then we have return of Christ in glory, and the first resurrection. And then over here, at least 1,000 years later, we have another resurrection. We have another resurrection. And that resurrection turns into the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment. And let's see what it says about that. And they shall come forth the ones, good works. What's the good works? The good works of Christ. It wasn't their own. Having done unto the resurrection of life. And the ones, the evil, wicked, refuse, vile, sorry things, having done unto the Anastasia of Kratios. Kratios. The resurrection of the double dead. The double dead. All of those that died without Christ are dead. Spiritually dead. They're thanatos. Thanatos. See if I can get them one of these things to write. Thanatos. And necros. Okay, there's two words for dead. dead, dead right there, that's a bad word for dead. You don't mind being necros. We all don't, none of us want to die, do we? Not willingly. I mean, you just keep on hanging on. All right. That's dead bodies right there, necros. Necros. But these people are going to be double dead over here. They're going to be raised in dying bodies that won't die. Raised in dying bodies. Raised in corrupt bodies that still feel pain. How many of you had a pain today? Anybody around here have a pain today? You didn't have pain today, did you, Julie? Oh, you're in the prime. I remember when I didn't have any pain, man. A horse had to stop me, slow me down, and I'd just get up and kick him. Pains. All of those that is in this dead resurrection, the double dead people, they're going to have pains. They're going to be subject to pain. One thing about us is we're not going to have any pain when we are resurrected. We're not going to be subject to pain. We're going to have all authority over our pains that we had in our past. People die with cancer. They die with heart trouble. They die with all kinds of sicknesses. When they're resurrected, they're still going to feel the same pain they left this world with. I am so sorry when I hear people say, well, I'm glad they're gone because they're not suffering anymore. If they're saved, they're not suffering anymore. If they're not saved, they're in a state of continual suffering until they get resurrected to really suffer. That's the last resurrection. You don't want to have anything to do with that last resurrection. Don't want to have anything to do with it. The folly. The word folly there, that word. And they shall come forth, the ones good works having done, to the resurrection of life. Jesus told his disciples, told all those Pharisees around there, he that believes in me shall what? Never die. But he shall live forever. He told that woman at the well in Samaria in John, the 4th chapter, he said, if you drink of the water that I give to you, you will what? Never thirst again and never die. Boy, what a statement. Jesus told Mary and Martha, remember we talked about them on Sunday morning, Mary and Martha, that was Jesus' rich friends. They were his lifelong friends. They were his friends before he ever started his public ministry. He visited with them many times. Martha wanted to marry him. She wanted to be the queen because she knew that he was the king of Israel. He told Mary and Martha, they came crying to him, bitterly weeping, and they said, Lazarus is dead. He said, oh, he sleeps. And he shall rise again. And she said, I know that he will rise in the resurrection. And he looked at them and he looked at them intensely and he said, I am the resurrection, the truth and the life. Life. That's the word Zoe's. I am the life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. You got death. It's all over you. You are submerged in death if you don't have Christ. Evil deeds having done. Unto the resurrection of judgment. Unto the great white throne judgment. That great white throne judgment. If you look at this, you just follow that on around. Revelation 27 through 9. Let's look at Revelation 27 through 9. Look at that quickly. Revelation 27 through 9. That's what he's talking about here. If you put these things in order, so we've talked about three different resurrections, haven't we? Who's got that Revelation 27 through 9? Got that, Julie? That's the last book, you know. Revelation 27 through 9. 20? Chapter 27 through 9. And there's no 27 chapters. You want to bring that up here and read it for me? 27 through 9. 20. All right.
7 through 9.
Yes.
When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand of the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth.
Hold on there just a minute. Now, these are people that have lived through 1,000-year reign of Christ. They know Jesus. They see the holy city above the earth like a satellite, like a great sun above the earth. And they have to go and do at least 1,000 Feasts of Tabernacles. And yet, and Satan has not been out there to pester or bother or tempt them whatsoever. But God now, we have the first resurrection over there. The Lord now is going to release Satan, and he's going to go out, and some of these people that were forced to serve God are going to go, what are they going to do? They're going to rebel, aren't they? And it even names the nations, Gog and Magog. Many people believe that's the Russian nations, and some people now believe that might be the Arab nations, okay? Go ahead then.
He marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them.
All right. Fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And then we have the great white throne judgment. Then we have the great white throne judgment. Okay. The destruction of the heaven and the earth in 2 Peter 3:10 and 11, Revelation 21 and 1, and 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. See, that little chart tells you all of this stuff. And you have the great white throne judgment. That's what it's talking about right there. At least 1,000 years apart between those two resurrections, the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the lost. 5 and verse 30. U, Diname, Echo, Poyain, Op, Amautu, Udan, Kathos, Akuo, Krino, Kai, Hais, Krisis, Hei, Eme, Dikae, Eston, Tote, U, Zeto, To, Thelema, To, Imon, Allah, To, Thelema. Two, Pamphantos. Not is able I to do from myself anything. Did the body of Jesus, did it have any great powers that he related from Mary? No. Natural body, what we call a normal body. His eternal self, his deity, had powers in it, didn't it? But the body that he had no more power than any other man, except it was without sin. There was no sin in Jesus. By the way, Jesus' body would have never died. It would have never degenerated. It would have been live. And if the... Remember the Da Vinci Code? When the Da Vinci Code out, the movie Da Vinci Code came out, and had him married to Mary Magdalene. And they had children, and this woman was the descendant, all right? I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus didn't have any children, but if he had children, they would have had God's blood in them. They wouldn't have man's blood in them. And they wouldn't have died, would they? They would have been alive forever. But that's not what? They would be gods. They would all have been gods.
Well, I know they would have been gods, but they have a choice to fall away.
I don't believe so. But it's all, we're talking about ifs, and it didn't happen. And it couldn't have happened because that's not why Jesus came. Okay? It just didn't happen. It couldn't happen. But if they had had children, they would not, their father was Jesus. And Jesus was God. And he couldn't have produced death, could he? All right? And it didn't happen. All right. Not as able I to do from myself, from his own body, anything. Just as I hear, I judge. And the judgment, my judgment, is just, it is. Because not I seek the will of my body. Did Jesus succumb to temptation? No, never did he? When Satan tempted him, he hadn't had anything to eat or drink for 40 days, had he? That's pretty hungry. I've gone without eating 10, 12 days, and I'm going to tell you something. It's rough. When I was starving to death, when I became an orphan, I was living on one blind saucer cookie a day. That's how come I went from 165 pounds and 6 foot down to 139 when I was 6 foot two. I was starving. It's not good to starve. Your stomach hurts a lot when you're hungry. But he was hungry. Okay? He was hungry. When I was in the hospital the last time, I think I went without eating for 11 days. When the last operation, I had major surgery. But they were feeding me I had IVs in me with, you know, hydrating me all the time. Without drinking, that would have been dead. Not my will, but the will of the one having sent me. The one having sent me. Jesus always did the will of the one having sent him. Let's go to one more verse, and we'll finish there. Ion, ego, matero, peri, imoto, he, maturia, mu, uk, esten, alithes. If I may witness concerning myself, the witness of me not, it is true. I can't do anything from my body that will convince Israel that I am the Messiah. Where did Jesus' power come from? It came from His deity. It came from His Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's where the power comes from. It didn't come from His body. All He inherited from His body was the relationship to the earth and to man. The word martyr is in this. Marteria. Martyr. Materia. If I witness concerning myself, genitive singular masculine, third person reflexive pronominal adjective and pronoun. The witness of me not, it is true. My body cannot do any miracles. My relation to man cannot do miracles. It's only my relation to my Father that does miracles. That's the only one. Only my relation to my Father. So we started off in 5:27 through 31. Do you have any questions? Any questions? Yes, Brandy. Brandy.
I'm trying to find where I took my notes so I can make it a more intelligent question. But okay, we went over that. Doesn't the blood come from the woman?
No.
Do I have backwards?
Yeah. The woman does not give any blood to the child. Only the Father.
Okay.
I had one of my students, Dr. Susan Hume. When I said that, she goes like this at me, you know. And she went to Cedars-Sinai in New York. That's where she did her training. Her husband was a professor there, and he had died. Anyway, she was in my class. She went and she studied. She called all of her professors because she was really, when I said that, she was really, she thought I was wrong. She didn't say anything, but she thought I was wrong. And she came back the next week. She said, I've studied all week long. And she said, I knew one thing that I didn't learn in medical school. And she's a famous doctor. She was at the head she was over the anesthesiology at Sam Walking Hospital and the head of anesthesiology at the Delano Hospital. And she said, I found out something this last week that not one drop of the child's blood comes from its mother. It comes from the father. And I didn't learn it in medical school. I learned it in theological class, and I confirmed it in medical school. He said, that's the truth. Dr. M.R. DeHaan wrote a book on the chemistry of the blood. And he went into that great, great detail. If you want to read a book about that.
So yeah. In the Da Vinci Code, even pretending that Jesus had children, the first time that they had a soul girl in the family, the bloodline would have been lost.
Yeah.
Because in the Da Vinci Code movie, it's a girl and she's supposed to have the blood of Christ. Well, even if she's the only one, even if she mated with someone else, the baby would have no blood.
No.
Related.
When they had children, his children would have never died. It, this is fictitious. It is theoretical. Okay. But they wouldn't have died. But if they mated with somebody else, they would have had a man's blood in them. They would have come on, and they would have whatever, you know, kind of like Nephilim, you know. You know what? There, as far as I know in the Bible, there were no female Nephilim. They were all males. An angel could only bring forth a male, not a female. They didn't have the right chromosomes. All of these Nephilim were all males. All right? Anything else? Brenton? You've got a question. Julie. Well, just throw it at me.
Okay, so God has unlimited control. That was in verse 27.
Mm-hmm.
Exousia. So, Satan fell before man was created.
Yes.
God had the control to put Satan in hell right then, and woman would have never been.
But he had a plan. But our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before he ever created Satan, didn't he? So he had a plan.
So could we have, if Eve was never tempted, they wouldn't have had children?
Yes, they would have.
So we could have still been born.
Yes, there could have been a perfect human race.
Right.
God is not going to do something without it being legitimate. When Adam and Eve were on the earth, if they would have served God, they would have had a whole bunch of children. And they could have ruled over the heavens and the earth, and there would have never been any sin in the world.
Right.
It was possible, wasn't it? So God didn't offer them something that he couldn't give them, did he? And they could have eaten from the tree of life forever. But they chose to steal and to lie. And they stole from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which they didn't need. Adam and Eve would have known everything there was to know worth knowing because God was teaching them. That tree of knowledge was the knowledge of what? Good and evil. They were learned all good without ever having to be influenced by evil. Wouldn't it have been nice if you could just raise your children without them ever seeing evil? Huh? Wouldn't that be nice? They could have. But they chose not to. The angels, when God created Satan, he didn't create Satan. When he created Hillel, or Lucifer, he created him perfect, without sin, but with a volition. Okay? Now, a superlapsarian, and that means way beyond the fall, God wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we were programmed to believe or not. Okay? That's what the superlapsarians believe. That everybody was programmed. And if that is true, Satan was programmed to fall. Would that be just? No. It wouldn't be just, would it? Would it be just for God to create somebody that lived and breathed and felt and hurt and loved and died without ever having a choice? Would that be just? It just wouldn't be just. But people believe that. Would it be just for God to the superlapsarians, he's the 5-point Calvinist. Okay? They believe that the Bible talks, and I will get into this one of these days. I've taught on this before. The security of children before they come to the age of accountability and all people that never come to the age of accountability. They believe that a child, a baby that dies, or a child that dies under the age of accountability, they don't know whether it's one of the elect or not. But when you elect people, and you elect some to reprobate, you reprobate some, and you elect others to eternal life, that's what you do. But I can't find that in my Bible. We're going to get into it, and you look at the modes and voices and all of this, and you believe or you don't believe. It's up to you. The cost has been paid. Like I taught when I taught in Calvinism, we're going to go into it a little bit more later when we get to that in the Gospel of John. It's going to be very plain, and we will study into superlapsarian, infralapsarian, sublapsarian, again, the 5 points of Calvin, tulip, and all that stuff, okay? But God created angels and spirits with a choice. And He created man with a choice. And unless there was a legitimate choice to make, and they could have, did they have to sin? Did they have to? Did He program them to sin? No. He gave them volition. Did He know everyone that would sin? Yes. Because He's omniscient. He wouldn't be God if He didn't. But He made no provision to bring them back to Him. But when He created man and put him in the garden, man would have little babies. Angels weren't supposed to procreate, were they? But they did. The fallen angels procreated. We know that from Genesis 6 chapter. And they procreated with women, a forbidden procreation. That raised a race of monsters. Okay? Well, God never made a promise nor created anything that He damned. Because He wanted to. The atonement of Jesus Christ, when He did die in space and time, covered the sins of all mankind. All mankind. All mankind will not be saved, but the provision was there. It is only efficacious to those that repent and believe. Okay? Only efficacious to those that repent and believe. It's only applied to them. The Unitarians and Universalists believe that the atonement is universal and nobody will ever go to hell. And in the end, that God is not going to send anybody to hell, period. Because the atonement is universal. But that's not what the Bible teaches either, is it? The atonement is only efficacious to those who do believe. The five-point Calvinists, those super-laxarians, believe that Jesus Christ never died for all men. Of course, 1 John 2 and 2, and many other places in the Bible, you can go into many of them, says that He died for all men. And they said that all there only means the elect. But we know that it is all. 1 John 2 and 2, He is the propitiation for our sins, but not only ours only, but for the whole world. And they say the whole world there is only the elect. They really tried it. But what does it say? For not only ours only, and that's talking about saved, but for the whole world. But it's not efficacious to the whole world. Did I answer your question? Mm-hmm. Any other questions? No? Well, let's have a word of prayer. And we'll go out and do something eternal, won't we? Brother Mike, you want to come up here and dismiss us in prayer, brother? I haven't had you up here all night. I've been left you alone back there right until the last minute. And you thought you were going to get out the door without getting up here.
I'm glad.
Amen.
Okay, let us pray. Father God, we come to You tonight praising Your holy name and thanking You for all that You have done for us. You're wonderful and perfect, and we thank You for that. Thank You for Your blood that covers our sins. Thank You for this group of people. Thank You for our leaders. Please, Father God, we pray that all our preachers are covered, and we pray for them to be strong in their way. It's just so unbelievable what they do, what they sacrifice for their children to get into heaven. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Boy, that was a real good scriptural prayer, just exactly like that model prayer in the book of Luke that we studied. You've been practicing at home, have you? We praise God when we start out, don't we? And thank Him, and then we ask for our little bitty things. All right.